Let us do a little revision before we proceed to Numbers 14, verse 5. You know, it's very important to follow the thread of this very sad but also very instructive story of the desert. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. You know, when I complain, it displeases the Lord. Don't displease him. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Numbers 11, verse 1. Frightened by their own imagination, they anticipated all kinds of calamities. You get people like this even today. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Taberah, from the verb meaning to burn, to consume, to exterminate. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? If one laughs, we laugh. If one cries, we cry. We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks and onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Stupid! They ate food from heaven. How can you compare fish from a river to food from heaven? Would you like to see a Nile fish? The Nile, with a mural of a fish found in the tombs of the valleys of the kings, and you're looking at it right now, and I've superimposed this on the river Nile. So there you can see what the fish looked like. The food tasted good because they labored hard. Now our whole being is dried up. They complained. Of course, it's all nonsense. When we want to do something, we've got many fine arguments. Fruit and vegetables had a large water content and are particularly refreshing in a hot, dry climate. Symbolism of the manna? It symbolized Christ. Now, the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. Numbers 11, verse 7. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it. You could have made anything with a recipe going with it. And the taste was like taste of pastry prepared with oil. So you had a salty taste and a sweet taste. Can you see the manna from heaven here? All over the ground. It tasted fresh and appetizing as food newly baked or fried in good oil. It also tasted like wafers made with honey. So it had different tastes. The way you prepare it. It was from heaven. And they complained. And when the dew fell in the camp in night, the manna fell on it. What a cool combination. Manna in the morning with dew making it wet. What a lovely breakfast. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. Psalm 78:23. He rained down manna for the people to eat. It was such a luxury. He gave them grain of heaven. It was prepared in the kitchen of heaven. Men ate the bread of angels. This was the angels' food. He sent them all the food they could eat. What more can one expect than to eat food that angels ate? The best time to enjoy a delicious spiritual meal is with Jesus. Our heavenly bread, heavenly manna in the morning, more tasteful. Seek him first. The manna went, were strewn early in the morning so they could get up and get the symbolism of the manna, Christ. Fellowship with him. In the morning, if we communicate with him, leaves a sweet taste in your heart. Make use of early morning manna. Let's go back to our story. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. So they wanted to see people seeing them crying. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. Please, they were worse than naughty children. Poor Moses. Poor God. Now, people in the Middle East likes to exhibit their grief by crying. They had professional cries. If you want people to weep at your funeral, you pay and you get cries and tears. In this instance, there is every appearance of a prearranged plan for concerted action, each family crying out aloud at the door of their tent. Poor Moses was at breaking point. This was a rebellion. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant?" He's getting burned out here. "And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me?" Sorry, Moses, you're wrong. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, "Carry them in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child, to the land which you swore to their fathers. Where am I to get meat to give to all these people?" Moses, he wasn't rational at this stage. Also weak like us at times. "For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.'" Poor Moses, day and night. They gave him a hard time. "Moses, we need meat." People today cannot go without meat. "I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me," he said to the Lord, Numbers 11:14. Did God expect him to do all this? No. In reality, Moses was as unreasonable as the people. Poor God. This is the leader. Now he's complaining like the others. "If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now." Can you believe this situation? "If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Poor Moses, he wants to carry God's responsibilities. Are there things that we are carrying that the Lord told us not to carry? Be careful what kinds of burdens you are carrying. Don't rob the Lord of his privileges. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you." So here we have some drama. The elders would never have been chosen had Moses manifested faith corresponding to the evidences he had witnessed of God's power and goodness. But he had magnified his own burdens and services, almost losing sight of the fact that he was only the instrument by which God had wrought. My friend, is this happening to you, to me? He was not excusable in indulging in the slightest degree the spirit of murmuring that was the curse of Israel. He had relied fully upon God. No, he did not rely fully on God. If he had relied fully on God, he would have guided him continually and would have given him strength for every emergency. What about you and me? You know, the Lord wants to supply the patience we need at times. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them. That's the 70. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. You're looking at a very interesting sight here. This is the place from where Elijah was translated to go to heaven. But this is also the place where Moses died and was raised from the tomb. So here at Wadi Al-Qarar, the gifts and activities of the Holy Spirit are referred to as energizing man to carry out God's plans. Now compare this with the transfer of the spirit of Elijah, 2 Kings 2 verse 15, to Elisha. This is a very interesting event, transferring the spirit from one to another. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? Challenging God. For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. Now, for how long would God allow them to be on a meat diet? He said, yes, I will, but how long would he allow them to be on this diet? You shall eat. Not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. And they started rejoicing. But for a whole month. But listen to this. Until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Verse 21. Shall flocks, now he talks to God, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? Poor Moses. He's suffering from burnout here because of the complaints of people. What was the problem of Moses? He was revealing symptoms of burnout. And maybe you are on the verge of burnout. So God is sympathetic to people that are on the verge of burnout. He cares about you. And the Lord said to Moses, and he speaks, I think, in a different tone, with sympathy in his voice. Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? You give me a short arm, Moses, but I've got a long arm that can reach you. Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Can you see them around the tabernacle? Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, that's Moses, and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the Spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. This was a once-off time. Were all 70 present at the tent of meeting? This is interesting. But 2 men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad. I like Eldad. The name of the other, Medad. I like him too. And the Spirit rested upon them, not at the tabernacle, but at the camp. Now they were among those listed but who had not gone out of the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. Verse 26. And the young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and says, Moses, my lord, forbid them. I like Joshua. You know, he's like Peter. Forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Here at Serabit Akadim, I was thinking of these special, humble men in the desert. You know, humble people, it's easy to get along with them, and God can use them. Moses, too, was very humble. Two of the 70, humbly counting themselves unworthy of so responsible a position, had not joined their brethren at the tabernacle. But the Spirit of God came upon them where they were, and they too exercised the prophetic gift, Eldad and Medad. Will the Lord answer our prayers, even if it is not for our benefit? Did he answer Israel's prayer when they asked for meat? Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea and brought them down all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground. So even a child could reach them as far as a day's walk in any direction. Billions of quails all that day and night. And they got meat. This is a day and night business. And all the next day, when did they sleep? They didn't sleep. And the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. A lot of them. Then they spread them out all around the camp. That is probably 60 bushels, about 2.2 kiloliters. Numbers 11:32. Man, they had meat in abundance. I spoke to this quail, and the quail said to me, they were not satisfied, content with those things that would prove a benefit to them. And now they're eating us. We are second-hand food. God gave the people that which was not for their highest good because they persisted in desiring it. You must be careful what you pray for. Driving through this vast desert, I thought of the large numbers that were cut down by burning fevers. While the most guilty among them were smitten as soon as they tasted the food for which they had lusted. Their rebellious desires were gratified, they overate. But they were left to suffer the result. They feasted without restraint. Can you see those stomachs? And their excesses were speedily punished. The Lord struck the people with a very great plague. What happened before the meat even reached their stomachs? But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. What a calamity. So they called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded for craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped at Hazeroth. Is there a relationship between eating and health? Does it affect me physically and spiritually if I've got wrong eating habits, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert? Listen to these sad words. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Leanness into their soul. In other words, the eating can bring a leanness in my soul. And may the Lord help us poor sinners not to allow anything in our stomachs that would affect our spiritual life. We do not need a leanness of soul. What is one of the most painful tragedies in life? When someone close to you, that you dearly love, hurts you, disappoints you, rejects you, and stabs you in the back. Maybe you've had an experience like this. Let's move on and learn more about the family tragedy that happened in the desert. What's your family like? I don't find perfect family situations. Then Miriam, yes, it's Miriam, and Aaron, yes, it's the high priest, spoke against Moses. What? Their own brother? Yes. Are your relatives gossiping about you? You will get something here to think about. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. By the way, this was not the problem. For he had married an Ethiopian woman who, they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Not the woman he married, but God communicating to him. Has he not yet spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. You know, when we gossip, he hears it. Now the man Moses, in brackets, was very humble. No air around him. More than all men who were on the face of the earth, according to the Guinness Book of Records of those days. At Hazeroth, the next encampment after leaving Tabera, a still more bitter trial awaited our dear friend Moses. Family problems. Aaron and Miriam had occupied a position of high honor and leadership in Israel. Both were endowed with prophetic gift, and both had been divinely associated with Moses in the deliverance of the Hebrews. Man, God used them in the past. This is a sad story. The Lord spoke through Micah, the prophet, who lived here in the vicinity of Lachish. And he said, I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, three of them, the three great leaders. Miriam's force of character had been early displayed when as a child she watched beside the Nile the little basket in which was hidden the infant Moses. And she loved that little baby brother of hers. But what's happening now? Maybe you had a good relationship with one of your family members. And now it's shattered. Her self-control and tact, she had lots of that, God had made instrumental in preserving the delivered of his people, Moses. Richly endowed with the gifts of poetry, and she was talented, intelligent, and music. Miriam had led the women of Israel in song and dance on the shore of the Sea of the Red Sea. Look at her profile at this stage. What is happening now with Miriam? In the affections of the people and the honor of heaven, she stood second only to Moses and Aaron. But the same evil that first brought discord in heaven sprang up in the heart of this woman of Israel. And she did not fail to find a sympathizer in a dissatisfaction. In the appointment of the 70 elders, Miriam and Aaron had not been consulted. You know, we want to be consulted. No, 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 you don't have to be consulted. And their jealousy was excited against Moses. Has this happened to you? You know, we are so egocentric. We've got such a fallen nature. We've got such an opinion of ourselves. If people don't consult us, we become jealous. We should guard the emotions of our mind. At the time of Jethro's visit, while the Israelites were on their way to Sinai, the ready acceptance by Moses of his father-in-law had aroused in Aaron and Miriam a fear that his influence with a great leader exceeded theirs. What else bothered them? Usually we've got a few complaints. In the organization of the council of the elders, they felt that their position and authority had been ignored. Moses chooses 70 people. They were not consulted. Please, don't worry if people don't consult you. After all, who are you? They had no idea of the weight of responsibility which rested upon Moses. Because they had been chosen to aid him, they regarded themselves as sharing equal the burden of leadership. You know, Christ came to be a servant, not to be served. And we should be servants and not to be served. They regarded the appointment of further assistance as uncalled for because they were so capable of doing the job. By the way, we are not so capable as we sometimes think we are. Moses felt the importance of the great work committed to him as no man ever had felt it. He realized his own weakness and he made God his counselor. Aaron esteemed himself more highly and trusted less in God. He gave evidence of the weakness of his character by his scandalous compliance in the matter of the idolatrous worship at Sinai. What a weak example. He had failed when entrusted with responsibility. He gave evidence of his weakness of character at the golden calf. But Miriam and Aaron, blinded by jealousy and ambition, lost sight of their own defects. Please, my dear friend, don't lose sight of your own defects, because then you're going to look for defects in other people. Concentrate on your own defects. Standing here at an exhibition of Aaron at Timnah, I thought of how highly he was honored by God to be high priest. Hey, high priest. And even this now added to the desire for more self-exaltation. The higher your responsibility, the meeker you should become, the more humble. Choosing a woman of another nation instead of taking a wife from among the Hebrews was an offense to her family and national pride. She's not of our class. Miriam, what has happened to you? Zipporah was treated with ill-disguised contempt, body language. Miriam, what's happening? Though called a Cushite woman, the wife of Moses was a Midianite and thus a descendant of Abram. Her ancestors were good people. Abram. In personal appearance, she differed from the Hebrews in being of a somewhat darker complexion. But this was not their problem. They just used this. Though not an Israelite, Zipporah was a worshipper of the true God. She was of a timid, retiring disposition, gentle and affectionate, and greatly distressed at the sight of suffering. Here we've got a profile of Zipporah. And it was for this reason that Moses, when on the way to Egypt, had to consent her to return to Midian. He didn't want her to see those plagues. When Zipporah rejoined her husband in the wilderness, she saw that his burdens were wearing away his strength. Burn out. So she discussed her fears with her father Jethro. And Jethro suggested organizational measures for his relief. This was the main reason for Miriam's bad attitude towards Zipporah. She concluded that Zipporah had prevented him from taking them into his counsels as formerly. When jealousy pops into your mind, ask God to remove it suddenly. It destroys people and it destroys yourself. May God prevent us from suspecting negative motives in our loved ones. You haven't got insight into their minds. Every time I visit Miriam's burial site at St. Petra, called the monastery, I get worried. If this could happen to a spiritual celebrity, where do I fit into this picture? Oh, my friends, we should humble ourselves daily. Maybe you are a victim of someone's jealousy. This could be living hell, by the way. Pray for wisdom how to handle this person with kindness and respect. And this is not easy. Next time, Moses will give us the secret of how to handle jealousy in your family. Father in heaven, help us not to be self-sufficient. Help us to realize our weaknesses. Help us to be humble, serving people. Thank you for the lessons from the life of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And may we grow spiritually as we study these characters. In Jesus' name, amen.